Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes both from Genesis chapter 1 and also our gospel reading. From Genesis 1, we hear in verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" And in Matthew 28, Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is God's word. According to an article in the New York Times, there are an estimated 75,000 state and federal prisoners in the United States held in solitary confinement. Most spend 23 hours a day in their cells, allowed out only for showers, brief exercise, or the occasional doctor's visit. A long-term study of the effects of solitary confinement revealed that most prisoners really never get used to their isolation, and some begin to lose their grip on reality. One prisoner that was interviewed for the study said that when his father died, he received a 15-minute phone call. He had been in solitary for 24 years. And he said, "I realized then that I have family that I don't even know, or even their voices." Another prisoner said that he placed photographs of his family facing the television in his cell and talks to them while he watches TV. "Maybe I'm crazy," he said, "but it makes me feel like I'm with them." My point in bringing this up is not to debate the merits of this type of punishment, but to demonstrate that human beings, even those who have committed heinous crimes, have a deep desire for relationship. It can be extremely troubling when we are cut off from relationships that matter to us, that feed our souls. Why are relationships so important to us? I would suggest that the very idea of having a relationship has its origin in God. The God of the Bible has, from the very beginning, lived in relationship to Himself. Way back in Genesis 1, we heard God talking to Himself, saying, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Who else could He be talking to, except those parts of Himself that we have come to know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And so, the act of creation is a decision God made to live in relationship with beings other than Himself, namely human beings. He wanted and still wants to live in relationship with people so that His delight and rejoicing will be multiplied. Have you ever thought about that? When you live in relationship with God, He rejoices. You are fulfilling His purpose for creation. But, tragically, it's hard for us to live in relationship with God. We may be born with a God-shaped hole in our souls, but on our own, we don't know what it is. We sense there's an emptiness there, so we try to fill it. We try to fill it with achievements or friendships, family, anyone who seems to care, really. Or we try to fill it with possessions. Or we try to fill it with excitement. When we get desperate, we try to fill it with substances that we think may fill the gap, but we'll never do it. What we try will never work because it is a God-shaped hole. The only thing that will fit there is a relationship with God. And because we are by nature spiritually dead, according to the Scripture, we cannot initiate the relationship that will finally make us whole. Knowing this, the Father, Son, and Spirit formulated a plan that would keep their dream alive, the dream of living in relationship with people. The Son, with whom the Father had hung the stars in the sky, would become one of the human beings they cared so much for. And in this way, God would deal with the problem of sin. Sin has a devastating effect on relationships. It made people not care about God, and even less for their neighbor. Witness the son of Adam and Eve murdering his brother. But if sin could be dealt with, if sin's debt could be canceled, wiped out somehow, then a renewed relationship could be possible. And so, Jesus is born into the world He helped create. And so Jesus speaks as He ministers continually about His Father. He talks about honoring His Father, being sent from His Father, about His Father giving Him glory, about knowing His Father, about doing His Father's will. And it is His Father's will that He, Jesus, should become the once and for all sacrifice for sin. And that makes it all sound very neat and tidy. It is His Father's will that He, Jesus, be hated, betrayed, spit on, beaten and whipped, and finally nailed to a cross. Yet none of that was the worst. The worst came when the Father turned away from His Son, withdrawing His relationship from His beloved, co-creating Son, ignoring the cries of the One in whom He had so delighted. This is the hell that Jesus faced on the cross. Not the nails, not the lake of fire, but His Father turning away. And there is only one reason. Because of our sins of thought, word, and deed. Because of the things we have done, the things we have not done, God should have and could have turned away from us. He would be justified in turning His back on us in sadness and disappointment, but the Father put Jesus in the place that we should have been, where we were supposed to be, and Jesus willingly took what we deserved. He took it. He didn't complain that it wasn't fair. He didn't run away or bail out at the last minute. He took it because He, with His Father and the Spirit, had one goal: to live in relationship with you and thereby to delight and rejoice in you. Having dealt with sin and death at the cross, having crushed death itself with the resurrection of Jesus, God could now go about initiating the relationship with us that He desired so much. So the Holy Spirit goes into action. through water and the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Spirit initiates the relationship that is so precious to Him. In holy baptism, the Spirit wraps His arms around one whom He loves. And He gives that one the gift of faith, the ability to respond to the Spirit's embrace with one of our own. The Holy Spirit opens your eyes to see all that Jesus did so that you can live in relationship to God. It has all been done for you. It has all been done to you. Spirit, Son, and Father moved earth and heaven for you. The relationship between Father and Son was broken so that your relationship with Him could be repaired. He just wants the joy of knowing you. And as you are drawn into a relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit, you realize that there is another way you can multiply His delight. And that is to live in relationship with other people with the commitment and the love that He has shown to us. Here's what I mean. Beyond the greatest gift of our relationship with Him, we have also been given the gift of living in relationship with mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, sisters, brothers, aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, cousins, friends, teachers, students, co-workers, the list goes on and on. Now, sin can damage those relationships just as sure as it can damage a relationship with God. But when our relationship with God is strong, then we will approach all of our other relationships with the grace that we have received and learned from Jesus. We will see the other person that we're looking at as someone who needs mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and friendship, and we will share those gifts because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit shared them with us. You were built for this. Let's pray. Almighty and most merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the psalm today we were reminded of a great question. What is man that you are mindful of him? Why do you love us so much? We cannot begin to thank you for the gifts that you have poured out into our lives. And for reasons known only to you, you treasure us as your creation, as those whom you have formed in your image. And you've laid it all on the line in order to cement that relationship, giving Jesus to live and die and rise, all so that we could be with you today and forever. By your Holy Spirit, strengthen our bond to you. May we do everything that we can to nurture that relationship, and may we see that we are built for relationships, that we express our faith in you by how we live in relationship to our neighbor, to everyone who is in our life. Help us, Lord, to access the power of your forgiveness and your unconditional love as we live in those relationships each day. We pray it in your strong name. Amen.